dreamed of heaven, I saw my baby.
Guys, welcome back. Episode 2 of Season 3. It's good to be here with Matt and Mark. Once again, we're like a week out from Midnight Madness, which I guess isn't really Midnight Madness anymore. And then what, like 3 weeks from the season?
Yeah, I guess the first big games are the that Champions Classic game, but... Yeah, it starts very soon. Midnight Madness. Do you like Midnight Madness, Ben? Are you do you like the hype? I always enjoy watching. North Carolina seems to do it the dorkiest every year, which I enjoy. Yeah, do you like it?
I do, man. It's like a Democratic or a Republican national convention where it serves no purpose other than to get that particular fan base hyped for the season, where there's absolutely nothing wrong with the team. Everyone's going to win a national championship. So I do. You know, the optimist in me really likes that part of Midnight Madness.
What is the – Mark, what do you think? What's the best Midnight Madness – moment in history for any school? And I have the correct answer, by the way.
Oh, man. I mean, it's got to be Drake showing up at UK, right? No, that's not what it is.
It's not, although it should be.
Is it the Miami Heat?
I was going to say that year, I think it was at Cincinnati, when Dick Vitale said, "And I'm going to throw in the books, baby," and the guy hits the half-court shot.
Oh, yeah, that was great. That was fantastic.
I didn't realize that was a Midnight Madness when that happened.
Yeah, that was back. There was a time, you know, I know ESPN's still showing it now, but I think it's because they feel like they have to. But there was a time that they made it a big thing. And that year, I think, was probably the best one.
You sure it's not Drake showing up at UK?
Well, I don't think Drake came to Midnight Madness. Drake's just here so much that we're used to him by now.
I thought he performed the first Midnight Madness.
No, that's right. He did come, but I don't think he performed. They've never really had anyone perform, which has made, you know, the biggest Kentucky Midnight Madness moment was the John Wall dance.
Right.
That happened here. That was when, can you do the John Wall dance, Ben? Do you know it?
We've talked about this before. It's not the John Wall dance. It was stolen from some guy who got killed and was on the first 48 in Louisville. We've talked about this story before.
That's true, but, you know.
You guys are ripping off Louisville again. I see how.
I think that's the best part about the John Wall dance is everyone can do it.
On Columbus Day, I don't know how you could say that we should not celebrate the person that made it the most famous. And Columbus made this piece of land the most famous.
I thought you meant Columbus made the John Wall dance the most famous, which didn't make any sense to me at all.
But I wanted to start off this beautiful second edition by talking about, you know, everybody's getting their preseason All-American and top 25 lists, and I think we're going to have to do that probably the next episode. But I did want to, you know, CBS put theirs out today. And their seven guys are Gary Parrish, Jeff Borzello, Matt Norlander, Jerry Palm, John Rothstein, and Doug Gottlieb. Now, you know, I need to preface this by saying I was once part of that group and had to do these things, and so I have my own opinions about all of these people. But the most telling one is clearly Doug Gottlieb, who was the only person not to pick Kentucky number one, but that's okay. But then he put Kentucky at number 7. He put Michigan at number 22, whereas all the others had him in the top 10. And then he didn't even rank Florida. Florida did not even make his top 25. I was curious, before I sort of do my Doug Gottlieb rant, what you two guys thought about that.
Well, those six that you mentioned, Parrish, Borzello, Norlander, Gottlieb, Palm, and Rothstein, would that be the worst preseason All-America team ever?
I was going to say that is the least diverse group of people to pick anything.
It's
really
not. It's,
I mean, if you look at the six pictures, because there's six pictures are across, it's just like six white God.
They collectively have very white teeth. I will. They are the whitest teeth of any group of people. You know, look, Kentucky doesn't have to be your number one. I think a case can be made for Michigan State, and a case can be made for Louisville. I might even make a case for Duke.
Yeah.
But you can't make a case for Kentucky number seven unless you're trying to just get people riled up, right?
Yeah, man, I was going to say that my first thought when I saw that was, I mean, you do radio every day. I do it a couple days a week. You know there's sort of that tendency for people on the radio more than anything else, except for maybe First Take, to just say stupid shit to see if they can rile people up. And I feel like Doug Gottlieb can't stop doing that. Like, he can't not do that no matter what he's talking about. And when I saw that, I was just like, ah, he's doing it again.
I'm just, again, I'm stuck on looking at these pictures, guys, and amazed out of this group that Doug Gottlieb was still able to bring the white man's perspective to this group.
I like that. Look, there is a tendency. I mean, I do 2 hours radio every day and pre and post game shows every game. There's a tendency to say, okay, what am I going to do? I got to get through this day. What am I going to say? But I have made it a belief after something that happened a couple years ago that it's not worth the temporary whatever just to say something to get through, because you're going to end up paying for it in the long run. So I try not to say that unless I legitimately believe it. Do you think Gottlieb legitimately believes that, for instance, Kentucky is worse than Oklahoma State going into the season?
I'm not sure you can really tell what he really believes. Like, I think there's whatever his persona that he thinks he should maintain, and I don't think you can really cut through that. So, like,
but what is that persona, Mark? I mean, take that. All right, so like, take Seth Skip Bayless. Excuse me. His persona is, I'm going to be this arguer. I'm going to know all these facts, and I'm just going to take the contrarian perspective. But it seems to me Gottlieb wants to be liked. So I don't understand what he does exactly.
I think he's just like a raw antagonist, because it's not even like a tremendous amount of kind of logical consistency with what he thinks. It's just sort of what will piss people off.
Is it even premeditated though? Like that, I don't see him as being that kind of guy where it's like I want to be the one that just throws out the most ridiculous statement so that I get attention. He doesn't. It's what Matt is saying. He wants to be liked. He tries to come across as that likable guy. Maybe he is a likable guy. I've never met him. But it just doesn't feel like a coward kind of statement. It doesn't feel like a Skip Bayless kind of statement. And yeah, I don't know where he's coming from with it. The only thing, playing devil's advocate here, with Kentucky, it's all newcomers, and we don't know a lot, right? I mean, we've seen them in all-star games. We've seen them on the AAU circuit. We just don't know a lot. But still,
yeah, if that's going to be your reason for putting, like, let's play as if he's being serious, okay? Just for sake of if that's your reason, then do you rank Louisville, Duke, and Arizona high? I mean, Louisville is got key newcomers replacing two of their most legendary players in two decades. Duke, their best player this year will be a freshman. And Arizona, their best player this year will probably be a freshman. So, I can understand if you have the antiquated belief that, well, newcomers, what do we know about newcomers? Okay, fine. Michigan State would be your number one team. But why are you putting these other teams that are all relying on newcomers? Now, Kentucky, granted, is relying on them more than those other schools, but that can't be it, can it?
That's the point that I was about to make, is that you can apply that logic to why Kentucky's seventh, but you can't apply that logic when you look at the other teams that are in front of them. Even with North Carolina, there's still eligibility questions there that will have a huge impact on their season. So you can't say, yes, I know exactly what's going to go on with UNC, but I don't know what's going on with UK, so I'm going to rank them seventh. That doesn't make sense, putting those two together.
But that's exactly what makes Gottlieb the antagonizer, is that I'm going to make this standard that applies only to UK, especially when everyone else expects them to be ranked number one. I'm going to use it just on them and make them number seven when everyone else has them no worse than one or two. I guess no one else has them lower than number one, and he has them number seven. I mean, that's the sort of thing that makes you say every time he says something and every time he writes something, in his mind he's saying, hey, watch this. Like, that's what I get with Doug Gottlieb every time.
Yeah, I'm totally with you on that. I don't know how you can rank. The top four have to be Kentucky, Louisville, Michigan State, and Duke in some order. Okay, maybe you could throw Kansas in there. But otherwise, those got to be your top four. If they're not, then you're just trying to be goofy. Now, that doesn't mean those will be the final four teams. Almost certainly they will not. But at this moment, clearly they're the four best teams. I mean, they just are. And I would have – see, I have a mixed emotions. And, Ben, I consider you rational. What should I do here? Part of me wants to have Doug Gottlieb on the radio with me, A, because he's a pretty good guest. He can talk. B, it would be something to argue with him about. But see, I don't want to reward this behavior. You know what I mean? Like it'll be, he's a national guy. He doesn't need me, but it will be of some benefit for it to be the story in Kentucky that Gottlieb's a turd. So do you reward? I don't know what to do. Part of me wants to have him on, argue with him. I know he'll do it. But then part of me wants to just ignore it and say, don't feed the troll. So what would you do?
Yeah, I don't think you could have him on. I think what would end up happening is that he would come on, you'd go back and forth a little bit, and then he would soften his stance and come across as being likable to Big Blue Nation, and then, you know, everyone's friends again. And I think that's what he's looking for is, you know, how do I get out of fan base so when they come at me, I can kind of play the nice guy and go that route to get it back on their good side. I would just let it go. I don't even think Kentucky's the biggest head scratcher on his list. I mean, I know that's what jumps off the page at you, but I'm looking at his list, and I don't even think that's the biggest head scratcher.
Is yours Michigan or Florida?
I think both. I mean, Florida. I don't know how you don't have them in the top 25, and then Michigan. I don't know how you have them outside of the top 20. Those two are the ones that jump off the page to me. Is I can't even begin to. Explain where he's coming from with those two.
Is there value in? I mean, there can't be value in pissing off the Florida fans because there's like three of them. So I don't. Which goes back to my point, Mark, that I think that's just, this is just who he is. He just is this guy, and he just. I often wonder, like, if he gets up and is like, he decides he's going to make pancakes, and so then he just starts talking shit to the eggs. Because he's like, see, eggs, I'm not on your side today. Today is a pancake day, and you're just going to have to deal with it. It's like he just – I don't think he necessarily has a bias. He just wants to sort of make his decision, and then everything else, they're just idiots.
Yeah, I think he has a persona, and, like, he can't turn it off. Because if you go – like, you remember the white man's perspective joke. You could tell, you go back and watch that video, like, he was going to make that joke.
Yeah, he had thought about it. He was
so focused on that he actually messed up his line before.
Exactly. He had looked in the mirror and said, this is going to slay him right here.
Yep. And so, I mean, to me, that's, I've got something that I know is kind of going to be incendiary or sort of fire people up or make them raise their eyebrows or guffaw or something. And, like, he tries to find it every time. And it's like, it's really annoying when you have a friend like that. That's like, I'm just going to say something that's not even contrary. It's just outlandish. I'm just going to get a reaction. It's kind of manipulative. And it's really annoying after a while. But it's what he does. He can't not do it.
And there's a place for that, guys. There's absolutely a place for that. But if that's what you do, if you're the guy who wants to be Mr. Analyst, if you want to be the guy to give his opinion and his predictions and all that kind of stuff, you can't also be the guy that's just going to say outlandish things to get a rise out of people.
Yeah, it's the difference between being Rush Limbaugh and being Tom Brokaw, right? You can't, and you kind of can't be both. I don't think. You are what you are. He also has Cal, by the way, 10th on his rankings, and no one else has them in the top 25. Now, Grant,
Matt, can you name a player that's going to play for Cal this year?
I can't name a player since Sharif Abdul-Rahim that has played at Cal. I'm not 100% certain that I know who Cal's coach is. Is it Mike Montgomery?
Yes, because he choked a guy last year or whatever, right?
Yeah, that's... So, the notion that Cal is number 10, that's, of course, just stupid. But that's fine. Look, I mean, people are going to do what they do. Let me go with the top five for a moment. Leave his out of it and just say, for you guys, for me, I'd probably go Kentucky, Michigan State, Louisville, Duke. That's how I would rank it. I think Louisville is not going to be as good as people think, but I think their record's going to be really good because their schedule is not good.
That sounds familiar.
Yeah, but I actually think your football team is good. I don't think it's like national title good, but I think it's really good.
Yeah,
I think your basketball team is going to be like not as good as people think, but they may be the number one team at the end of the year because they'll only lose a couple games with that schedule. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But what would your all's top teams be of that four? Would you agree those are the top four, and then how would you rank?
I would rank them the same way until I got to see some of Louisville's new pieces. So I don't really have a problem with that at all. And I know that sounds like kind of a double standard because we haven't really seen any of Kentucky's new pieces, but we know they're going to be good. And we know Cal has a history of being able to sort of mold these things together. So it's not hypocritical to say that. But until we get to see them all, and if Kevin Ware is really going to play kind of from day one, Louisville probably maybe be a little better than I was expecting. But I don't really have a problem with the way you ranked them there at all.
I don't really care. I think those top four are pretty much interchangeable. We might even throw Kansas in there as that fifth team that can be interchangeable. I think there's a clear, you know, upper echelon, and then there's a muddled, you know, 6 through 12, and then there's a huge muddle of teams below that. But you know where you rank those teams right now, I don't care enough to even make a prediction there.
Are you flossing, by the way? Because I keep hearing these sounds that sound to me like you're flossing. Is that, are you doing that, Ben?
I'm looking at Gary Parrish's teeth, and and I'm just jealous. So yes, no, I'm not flossing. Come on.
Okay. Well, speaking of, I like
that you're offended by the idea that you might be flossing.
Yeah, come on. Flossing. Are you crazy?
Flossing is for pussies. Like,
all right. So then, with the top four, I think there are little stories about each of the top four. So let's do those real quick. Kentucky and Michigan State, we've had this sort of mini story about the two coaches allegedly trash talking each other. I don't know if you two followed it, but since I'm involved with the Kentucky side, I'll stay out of it and let you two give your take. So Michigan State comes out, Izzo comes out and says, our team is practicing to go and kick Kentucky's ass. At which point, Cal then came on my show and said, you know why teams say they want to kick our ass? And of course, he had to be talking about Michigan State there. It's because our players got the scholarship their players wanted, basically. Now, both of them then came out and said, oh, it's just good natured. We're buddies. But what do you make of all that? I mean, both of them were saying it. I think it's important to know. Both of them were saying it to their particular fan bases. Okay, Izzo was saying it to a gathering of Michigan State fans, and Cal was saying it on my show, listened to by Kentucky fans. And both of them got picked up nationally. What do you guys make of it?
I think you answered yourself there. I think whenever you've got a coach talking to his own fan base at one of those, like, you know, rally the troop type events, nothing there can – well, I guess there's two schools of thought. It's either you can't take it seriously because they're just saying what people want to hear, or they're really in their comfort zone in the trust tree and can say whatever they want to. So maybe it is true. Maybe I confused myself as I was given that answer. Maybe they don't like each other.
Well, no, I don't think they don't like each other, but I think that can mean they're still talking trash. I mean, probably what they both said, Mark, there's probably truth in both of them. I mean, for Izzo and those Michigan State guys, they are probably practicing this year to beat Kentucky, and then they'll be number one and get and start the flow. And for Cal, I think he genuinely believes the Kentucky guys were higher recruits than the Michigan State guys.
Yeah, and isn't this kind of I guess kind of the way virtually everybody's going to frame their game against Kentucky is like they are the highest rated guys and we're just the lunch pail guys or we're the also-rans or whatever. And our guys with experience and kind of multiple years and all that are going to beat their one and done superstars, blah, blah, blah. I mean, this is how everybody's going to do this, isn't it?
Yeah, but what's interesting about Cal is that, and I've just watched Nick Saban here, and I don't know if you guys saw the post-game press conference when Alabama beat Kentucky, but Nick Saban sat down and said, you know what, we just dominated them, which didn't offend me because he was right, but I thought that's brutally honest, and I appreciate that. And Cal has some Nick Saban in him saying, our guys are just better than your guys. And most people would never say that, but he will. And do you like that, Ben? Do you like that honesty, or do you think that's kind of crap?
I think it depends on what your players want to hear. I mean, ultimately, these guys are all competitors. You know, I mean, the three of us talk trash to each other. You know, it happens, right? You know, you're guys, you talk trash, it's going to happen. But, you know, whatever gets your players to focus on whatever they want them to focus on, if Izzo really wants to set the stage that Kentucky game is going to be the kickstarter for their season, absolutely he's going to go after them. You know, on the flip side, Calipari needs his guys to realize, look, you guys are superstars. And if they're thinking that, then they're going to go have a good season. I think, you know, Krzyzewski is always the guy that's kind of bringing his guys back into the center instead of letting them, you know, be out there and think that they're greater than they are. He's always trying to pick at something that they need to improve on. It's just the personality, and it comes down to what the players need to hear. And I think different players need to hear different messages.
Yeah, I think every coach, like there's two audiences. There's fans and players. And I think Cal is probably best at kind of tailoring his message for both. He knows Kentucky fans love red meat. They love stump speeches. They love addresses like that to sort of pump their guys up. And I think that's just Cal's way of dealing with his young guys is giving them a little bit of confidence. I also think he's really confident in this team as compared to last year.
Oh, yeah, he is. He's walking around, Mark, like Vince McMahon walking to the ring in WWE. I mean, he's got his shoulders out. He's got a swagger. You've seen it. When he's good, he knows, and he's got that this year.
Yeah, and I think the important thing is, Matt, used by comparison, he really didn't have it at any point last year. Like, going into last year, there was no talk about that. And for him to sort of explicitly say, we're going to chase 40-0, or the players to even entertain it, I mean, that shit wasn't coming out of his mouth last year or any of the guys last year. And so I think Cal does a good job maintaining that message and kind of tailoring it to where it hits fans and players both. Equally, and he's good at that sort of thing. So I think this just sort of all this with Michigan State and all that sort of plays right in together.
And I think, by the way, Ben, your point was a good one, your initial point. I think these guys are more honest around their regular fan bases. I mean, if you look at Calipari's most sort of controversial comments, they've come on my show because he knows the fans are going to like it. But he also feels like probably I won't crush him for it because I like it too. Remember his famous, we're the only team in the state of Kentucky? You remember that?
Yeah.
That came to me as well. And I think I'm sure Izzo has the same thing there in Michigan. And Patino has it when he's talking with Terry Miners, Mark. You've seen that over the years. That's a Louisville radio host that Rick seems comfortable with. I'm sure, does Krzyzewski have one of those people there at Duke?
No, that's what I was about to say, that none of that happens down here because you've got spies everywhere. I mean, you've got three teams in a 15-20 mile radius that absolutely despise each other, and all of their fans are crammed in that same space. There's really not a safe zone for any of the coaches down here.
So there's no media that there's not a me there or a Mark. Like there's not a Duke guy there or a Carolina guy.
On the record, no way.
Really?
Matt, are you saying there's an East Lansing sports radio?
Well, there may not be, but Michigan State is the only game in town. I mean, Ben makes a good point. There are not a lot of places where there are passionate fan bases in the same spot.
Yeah.
All right. And Kentucky's one of them, and Carolina's one of them. And it's interesting, over the years, an ethic has created here in this area of you can now be Kentucky or Louisville guy. Some people try to be neutral, but most people have picked a side in the media, honestly, whether explicitly or implicitly. But you're telling me that hasn't happened, Ben, in North Carolina?
What, where you have to pick a side?
No, where the media sort of has picked sides.
Ben, where you can sort of immediately recognize sort of who's going to give kind of a favorable impression versus an unfavorable impression. But I guess with Duke, Ben, North Carolina's right there. Like, there is nowhere geographically where sort of they are alone, right?
Yeah, I mean, they're basically in the same city, being honest about it. But it's an interesting dynamic because you've got, like the News and Observer, the big newspaper here. The beat writer for UNC is an NC State grad, so you don't even have you don't even have that insulation within your own beat writer. Now Duke's beat writer for the News and Observer, she went to Duke, so she's a Duke girl, but just doesn't have that this is my Duke bubble that I can write or say whatever I want to.
Yeah,
there's just so much scrutiny down here about everything that's said.
You know, there really aren't that many other places that are like that. I mean, I'm trying to think, like, Memphis is like that, right? Because Memphis is there and Ole Miss is kind of right there.
But they don't hate each other, you know what I mean? So it's not the same.
That's true.
I mean, it's hard to find – they may be the only two places where you got the same media market with the two schools that really, you know, hate each other and that they're – existence is sort of about beating each other. It's, you know, I think that's why those are the two best rivalries.
Maybe UCLA and Southern Cal, but I don't know that they've ever been relevant enough at the same time.
Yeah. Well, let me switch to Duke for a minute. What did you make of the whole pictures with the guns? I don't know if it was a huge controversy. It was one of those internet controversies. But what did you make of that, Ben?
Well, it's the second year in a row. I mean, last year they went down to Fort Bragg and Fayetteville and kind of did the same thing. And you've got a picture of, you know, Krzyzewski popping out of the top of a moving tank. Things like that.
Like Michael Dukakis.
Exactly.
Like Michael Dukakis.
Exactly. I laughed pretty hard at that picture because I don't think – anyone has ever looked more awkward with an assault rifle than Emile Jefferson in that one picture. He's just like an awkward looking guy in general. And you know, it was a strange picture.
Let me ask you, we're all adults here. Let's take the thing that stuck out with me the most. All the black players are in it. None of the white players. Does that matter? Or is it just coincidence?
Well, it's funny. This year, there's only two white guys on the team.
Okay, well, no, that makes a difference. I always think of Duke as having like 46 white guys.
Right, exactly, and it's a different makeup, if you will, this new team than historical teams.
It is kind of unfair that we got robbed of a picture of any Plumlee holding an assault rifle.
They were not allowed to. they were not allowed to go anywhere near.
Well, let me ask you this. If it had been, I use this example on the website, but let's say that DeMarcus Cousins, John Wall, Patrick Patterson, or Louisville teams from back in the day, let's say it was them that did it. Is the reaction different than if Duke does it?
No. I read that, and I completely disagreed with it. I don't think no, there's no way. One,
you think DeMarcus Cousins with an assault weapon doesn't get a different reaction than Emile Jefferson?
I would give him a different reaction.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're nuts if you don't think that's different. I mean, think about the Miami teams back in
football. They actually had assault weapons.
Yeah, those were real. Those were real.
But I'm just saying, you know, with all the camouflage and stuff, you don't think that there would be a whole different notion if it were different teams doing it?
No.
Really?
Yeah, I really don't. Now, I will say, if it had been PJ Harrison holding an assault rifle after being, you know, arrested on a gun charge earlier this offseason, that would have made headlines. But
I think you're naive about that. I mean,
what coach do you want to see holding an assault rifle?
Jeff Bezdelic.
I think you're naive about that. I think if that's Memphis, everybody has a different reaction.
But every person in Memphis has an assault rifle.
I mean, listen, I know you're making jokes, but I'm being serious. I think that that's – I talk about this a lot, what Duke can get away with. And let me just say, there are things that Kentucky and Louisville can get away with that Duke can't. It's not all pro Duke. But Duke can get away with that in a way that if another school did it, I don't think you would get that same reaction.
Yeah, I don't see it.
No, Matt, I think you're probably right about that.
It's, you know, it doesn't mean – I'm not outraged by it. I'm surprised they let that picture get out, especially on the official Duke account.
Have you seen what they've done on this trip, though? I don't know how we get back to like benefits, right? Like players getting benefits from boosters or whatever. This trip is unbelievable. I don't know how they're able to do it. Have you followed what they've done at all?
No, I haven't. It's at an Army base, right?
No. They went to
West Point.
Well, they went to West Point, and then they went to they're in New York City right now. They're going on all these tours. They're meeting with CEOs. It's an insane trip. And you know, Duke does this probably once every other year. They go on these once in a lifetime trips. You know, the trip to China and Dubai a couple years ago. I don't know how this isn't, you know, some kind of violation somewhere. I don't know.
Well, I mean, the China stuff, I mean, teams are allowed to do that like once every 3 or 4 years. But that's an interesting question. I haven't seen the stuff about going to New York. It'd be interesting to see. I mean, I don't think the NCAA legislates, like, can you take really cool road trips?
Right, and that's exactly what it is. I mean, I don't think it's illegal, but I guess my question is why isn't this an unfair advantage? Because, me just sitting at home, seeing all the things that they're doing in New York, I'm jealous as hell. So if I'm a high school senior, high school junior, and I'm looking at, you know, where I'm going to college, do I want to go to East Lansing and hang out in Michigan, or do I want to go to Duke and, you know, go to Australia or whatever the next trip is going to be?
It's a good point. You know, if you want to know when it'll get legislated, just wait till Cal does it.
Come on.
Wow, tough crowd, Matt. Like, that was actually a pretty good executed joke there, and we just kind of let it die.
Just let it die. I don't even think it's a joke. I could go down the list of things that when he's done it, it then became banned after. But the foreign trips, schools are allowed to do.
Yeah.
I think it's once every 3 years. Maybe it's once every 4 years. But it's interesting. I don't know about domestic trips. I don't think I've ever really really thought about that. All right.
This podcast has been kind of hard on East Lansing so far, though.
Have y'all ever been to East Lansing?
No.
No.
I drove by and I didn't stop. I just kept going.
I've been there. I was there for a night, and it – I hate to say this because I know we're big in East Lansing, but it's the worst college town I've ever been to in terms of like a nightlife-y campus feel for a big university town. And again, maybe I hit it on the wrong night, but I was shocked at how bad it was.
Are we talking like urban blight, like Afghanistan?
I'm just talking like... this is what I did when I've been to nearly every big college campus on the eastern half of the country. And I said, show me where the best place to go in town is. And normally, it's always good. It's always cool and college-y. This was like, I felt like I was, had sort of entered downtown Detroit. And there was one bar and everybody in it looked like Jeff Borzello. And it was just kind of awful. And I remember thinking, man, I always thought this place was kind of better. Now, you know, maybe I was there on the wrong day, but if I were ranking college campuses, it's towards the bottom for me, for sure.
See, it's crazy because Gottlieb has them third.
Campus ranking? Nice. All right, well, Louisville, Mark, Kevin Ware, I'm not getting into my thought. You know my thoughts on the
game. Right, we don't need to go there.
Mark. I'm not going to get into it. And you know, I'm glad to see that people just blatantly lie now, and it's fine. But that's okay. He's going to be ready.
That's not new, by the way, Matt. You know that.
Yes, but I mean, I'm just amazed. Well, who cares? I'm not getting into that.
What, are we talking about how he's just lucky to be alive?
No, I'm talking about how he was asked at Media Day the notion of, were you kicked off the team this summer? And he was like, well, of course not, which is fine. I don't mind that he just blatantly tells a falsehood there after his coach did. But what's interesting to me is how the media just completely accepts, well, see, he says he wasn't, so the end of story. You know, it's like O.J. Simpson. I said I didn't kill her. Why are you all putting me on trial? This is stupid.
Matt, for what it's worth, man, I'll say, I mean, we don't have to do this. I'm not going to bust your balls about it. I'm not going to say they're all telling the truth. I'll just say this. I think it's somewhere in the middle in this regard. I think the local media, it's basically not that, well, he's just saying it, so it must be true. It's he's just saying it, and we'll freaking never know the difference, and no one will ever tell us. So, why beat a dead horse? That's all.
It's a fair point if I believed any of them had looked into it. And I don't believe any of them did. But that's a whole nother – that's a local thing. People don't care about that. Do you think that him playing matters? And here's my question. Is he the most famous player in college basketball this year?
No.
Who's more famous going into the season?
Wiggins.
He'd be the only one, right?
I was going to say Wiggins, yeah.
If not him, though, it would Ware be second? I think he's first, by the way. I think more people know the name Kevin Ware than any name in college basketball.
I think we're so far removed from that injury that no one remembers him, and if they do, they remember him as, oh, he's the guy that got hurt.
Let me remind you, Kevin Ware was invited to and attended the White House Press Correspondents' Dinner. I'm just saying, that's a level of knowledge. He is what I always use the level of the Today Show knowledge.
He was on Letterman.
He was on Letterman, exactly. Andrew Wiggins is known to sports fans. Kevin Ware is known to people like my mother because Matt Lauer talked about it. I think you all are way underestimating. If you said Kevin Ware, some people might be like, who's that guy? But if you said the dude from Louisville that got hurt, I think he'd be by far the most known.
Wait, is that not the point that I just made? The people remember the event.
You said that the answer was no, and I'm just saying the answer is yes, he's the most known.
Yeah, I don't think anyone knows who Kevin Ware is. But yes, if you said, hey, remember the guy that got hurt, then they would remember, oh yeah, it plays for Louisville, and that's probably where it would end.
Well, how many of those people would know who Andrew Wiggins is? I mean, Andrew Wiggins is only going to be known to sports fans. There's not going to be any person that's not a basketball fan who knows who Andrew Wiggins is.
Speaking of, are we gonna downplay him? What's our take on Andrew Wiggins? What's the official walk-on stance on Andrew Wiggins going into the college basketball season?
I don't know. How's that?
I think he's going to be great, but he's not going to be as great as people think. And so people will say he was overrated, which is unfair to him.
Yeah, I feel like this is the guy we're going to end up cheering against.
Which is also fair to him because he's a good kid.
I don't think he'll be a guy we root against. I think if he went to Kentucky, he'd be a guy people root against.
I don't think he's going to – I think he's going to not put up crazy Durant-like numbers.
Right.
And that's going to make people think he's not good.
I think you're right, Matt.
And I don't think that's fair because I think he chose to go to a school that's going to – I don't think it was a great choice for him in terms – if all he cares about is putting up numbers, which maybe he doesn't. So he's still going to be the number one pick. He's still the best player in college basketball. But I think he'll average like 15 points a game and not 25 then, and thus people will say – well, he's not as good as everybody said he was.
Do you think he'll get the same treatment that Harrison Barnes did, where it was like a lot of apologies being made and excuses being made for that? Or do you think that he'll get called out on not performing?
That's a good question.
That is a good question.
Will he get the Jay Billis, what if Andrew Wiggins made one more field goal to each game? What would his stats be? Would he get that graphic during Kansas games this year?
It probably depends on how good Kansas is, like as a team. Like, if they aren't one of the top two or three, four or five teams, then I think people will start to be like, well, how come this guy doesn't just make them one of those kind of by himself? That's the way he was billed. If he's really the best player since LeBron, why aren't they a top five team? Why did they lose to Oklahoma State or whatever? But if they're winning, I think you probably will get more of a pass than you think.
And the narrative may also – it also may depend on what's – I always forget his name, but the big guy there. What's his name?
Danny Manning.
Yes. That center is a top five pick too that no one talks about, and I don't know why.
Greg Ostertag, is that what we're talking about?
He's going to be really good. and, you know, that'll be part of it. But – a lot of the excuses will depend on whether or not people like him. And I'm not sure people liked him as much because Harrison Barnes is perfect for reporters because he was engaging and talked to you, and that made him somehow better. Wiggins is real shy. He doesn't say anything. And so I don't know.
Matt, I think that probably makes him less likely to be hated or whatever. Because with Harrison Barnes, it was like, he was like the branding and all that garbage. People hate that shit, and Wiggins doesn't do any of that.
And Bill Self, the media loves Bill Self.
I will never forget the video of Harrison Barnes after they lost in the NCAA tournament his freshman year, and he's sitting in the locker room and he's got his head covered by a towel, right? Not saying anything to any reporters, and then finally they go off to other people, and this is on video where he peeks out from his towel and sees that some people are still looking at him, so then he goes back underneath his towel. It was the most staged, like, I'm hurting on the inside type of performance I've ever seen. And I don't
your hatred of Harrison Barnes.
I don't trust that guy. He's fake.
You hate him so much. You get these every year. There's one guy and that you just hate. And I'm interested.
Who do you hate this year, Ben? Who is it?
Yeah, who's that guy going to be for you?
Oh man, that's a tough question.
Make it somebody tough. You do.
It's usually someone sensitive and like thoughtful. Like that really bothers you. You want someone, as opposed to most intellectuals. You seem to hate any player that has any air of intellectualness at all.
Is it Ryan Harrow again? Is that what it is?
Yeah, it is. Like Ryan Harrow was a perfect last
year.
Example. Yeah,
that's who it was last year. I don't know. I need to pick a mark this year.
You need to pick. I'm trying to think who I know that.
I mean, Ryan Harrow still plays college basketball. It can be him again if you want to hate somebody for Georgia State.
No, I don't. I don't care about Georgia State.
I like if you just have contempt in your heart for Georgia State. Just you wish Georgia State the worst. I wouldn't be surprised if next year your guy is Kyle Wilcher at Gonzaga.
Could be. That makes perfect sense.
He would be the kind of guy you're talking because he's also a good kid. That's smart, but can kind of pout and be sort of like, you know. So I could see you being, and that would be unfortunate to me if you did a Harrow Wilcher double team.
I don't know anyone. I can't think of anyone off the top of my head because I don't know their team well enough. But it's probably going to be someone from Notre Dame, maybe.
Maybe a coach. Can you hate Steve Alford because nobody likes him?
Well, that's Tom Crean. That's my hatred is.
Yeah. Yeah. Listen, Tom Crean, if there was a Mount Rushmore of universally despised coaches, if you're not a fan of Indiana and Tom Crean is not in your top three of hated coaches, then you're not doing it right. Like, you don't understand what it means to be objectionable. You know, if you're a certain kind of person, you may not like Cal or you may not like Krzyzewski or whatever, but everyone should hate Tom Crean, right?
Matt, I think you're totally right. I don't think there's any... Like, even some people kind of have, like, a weird enjoyment of Cal because he sort of will just say what's on his mind and not coach speak all the time. But I don't think anybody except Indiana fans likes Tom Crean, except for Dan Dockich, which is the same thing.
People like Cal in the same way they like Vince McMahon. They sort of like the bad guy.
Yeah.
But there's no excuse to like Tom Crean. What is likable about him? He's Dwight Schrute without the comedy. There's nothing redeeming about him whatsoever. He is my least favorite coach, and it's not even close.
I don't really disagree with that, because there's the faking, like telling the guys in the huddle, remember that? Telling the guys to sort of fake taking an elbow, and the creepy direct message that he accidentally sent to the whole world. Like, everything about him is weird. But cutting the nets for no damn reason.
Kissing his son on the lips, and the Michigan coach at the end of the year when he started yelling at him.
You wrecked our program, right?
Cutting down the nets after a loss.
Yes, the memorabilia for beating Kentucky in like an early season game, like everything about him is annoying.
Everything about him is the worst.
Yes, I'm totally the worst.
Ben, you're being quiet. Do you like him?
No, I was trying to think of something good about him, but I can't.
Dwayne Wade, that's it. Like, he coached Dwayne Wade.
Now that we've seen Dwayne Wade longer, isn't Dwayne Wade sort of like him? I mean, I find Dwayne Wade to be unlikable.
Are you saying that Tom Crean wears really outlandish shoes and like capris and stuff like Dwayne Wade does?
He would if he were good. I find Dwayne Wade, this is controversial because I really like LeBron.
Me too.
But I find Dwayne Wade, I agree with Tony Kornheiser. I just want him to get out. Everything he does just sort of annoys me. I feel like he's kind of a fake as well. And I think it's telling that both Shaq and LeBron have played with him, and now both seem like they just can't get away from him quick enough. So he's perfect. He's Tom Crean.
I think that was a little bit more tolerable at Marquette because it's Marquette. But, you know, Indiana, if you're at a blue blood program and you're just a despicable human being, that you can't get away from it.
But the thing about Crean is he's not, like, evil. He's just really lame. He's, like, really annoying.
Yes. He is the 2.5 men of basketball coach.
Yes. Yes.
That's what he is. There's nothing redeeming about him. And you sit there and you go, why is this show number one? Why? And he's at the perfect program because Indiana is the 2.5 men of programs with those stupid pants and everything. I mean, they're just – I will say this. It's a perfect fit. You could not have. You know, that's a good thing about college basketball, by the way. Right now, the programs are coached by living embodiments of them. Cal's perfect for UK. He's like Big Blue Nation, sort of evil. You know, Krzyzewski is considered like a scholar. Whether he is or not, I don't know. But that's perfect for Duke, right? Roy Williams, kind of, I think that's perfect for Carolina. Steve Alford's kind of sleazy on the West Coast, which is kind of what you think UCLA should be like. But Crean's perfect for Indiana.
And then there's Rick Barnes at Texas. He's perfect.
Is he the most nervous man in sports right now?
Rick Barnes?
He cares.
Does he want to get fired?
I don't think he cares either way. I mean, he's like Charlie Weiss. He's like, I'm getting paid either way. What do I care? When was the last time you really saw like Rick Barnes or his team in a game and you're like, that guy is coaching for his life? Like, like when Rick was sort of going through, like when Cal was sort of on top of the world and Louisville sort of struggling, like you knew, like you could see it on his face, like he didn't like this. I don't know if we're getting, like Rick Barnes is kind of like a robot. Like he's like, I don't care. Am I wrong?
No, it's perfect. It's perfect.
Well, the good thing for Rick Barnes is that the football program will have people hiding. Schools don't like to replace both football and basketball in the same year. And you got to think they're getting rid of Mac Brown.
Well, I think the good thing for Rick Barnes is the athletic director isn't quitting till next year. So, nobody's going to let the guy going out hire the next coach.
Can we also agree, before we get out of here, the team that will be overrated at all points will be Wichita State?
I mean, I'm seeing Gonzaga on here again. I'm seeing New Mexico pop up on my top 25 majors.
Yep.
Yeah, New Mexico should never be on any list. Gonzaga and New Mexico, I don't even consider them like programs to speak about.
VCU's still popping up.
Ben, it matters. It matters now because they're in the ACC, but can we just go ahead and go on record that Notre Dame's still not going to win a freaking tournament game?
No, they will not.
It's the same thing every year. They don't win anything.
And Pitt as well.
Oh, Pitt. Yeah.
Hey, so speaking of that, we got some feedback from our fans on Twitter here with some topics they wanted us to cover. You guys want to end with a little lightning round here?
Yeah, before we do that, on Twitter, and what's the Twitter account again,
so, Ben? It's at Walk-Ons Podcast.
At Walk-Ons Podcast. I have to do an APB for T-Rob. I never thought I would say this, Ben, but fans of the show last year would know that T-Rob was a regular. I mean, that's to put it mildly. T-Rob was in, but T-Rob's not called my morning show. He's not tweeted the new Walk-Ons Podcast. I'm worried about T-Rob.
Is it possible? Has anyone ever seen T-Rob and Ryan Harrow in the same spot?
That's a very good question. T-Rob, if you're out there, tweet at Walk-Ons Podcast and at The Devil Wolf a lot to let us know that you're okay.
You're making us nervous, man.
And that you're settling in Atlanta just fine.
Yes, yes. All right, this is from Travis Utley. Best college team-themed song, which I don't know what that means, but can you think of any college team-themed songs that jump out at you as being great songs?
I can't think of a song. I'm sorry.
Kentucky fans produce songs every couple weeks. So those are going to be the ones that are in my head. I have to tell you, I'm a big fan since I associate states with their songs. I think Country Roads for West Virginia.
Oh, yeah.
I think it fits the state. I kind of like how it works.
And Buzz Peterson enjoys dancing to it.
Good call.
No, he danced to...
He danced to Country Roads in West Virginia when they won there on a weeknight. I definitely remember that.
Oh, that's right. It was on a Friday night, I think.
Yep.
That's right. I do remember that.
And he almost died. All right, Frank Cabina wants to know, is there anything in life that Matt enjoys?
I don't know what that means. I enjoy a lot of things. It's just I like to focus on the things I don't enjoy to try to correct them. I enjoy a good book. I enjoy The Wire.
Hey, Matt, tell people a book recently that you enjoyed. This will be enlightening for a lot of people. Besides the Bible.
I read a book called Beautiful Ruins, which was just recently. Let me tell you, folks, because the kind of people that listen to this show are usually some of our smartest fans. There's a guy named Davy Rothbart, all right? He writes essays, D-A-V-Y Rothbart. I read his most recent book. It's called My Heart is an Idiot. And you guys would like him as well. Davy Rothbart, My Heart is an Idiot. That is probably the best book I've read in a long time. It's just essays about his many attempts at finding women and how they always fail. Those are the kinds of things I like to read. I like to read a lot of stuff that most people don't.
I'll say that for people that are listening and that don't know Matt, awfully lighthearted in person. So people who are like, what does Matt like? Does Matt like anything? Maybe you have a persona, Matt, but I think people will be surprised how sort of lighthearted you are in person.
Yeah, I take very few things seriously. For 1 hour every week, I come on here and try to really bring thunder.
Clint Smalley wants to know about your love life, which I guess can he DM you about that?
Please Snapchat me, Clint, and we'll talk about it.
I'm married, so I don't have a love life.
You guys on Snapchat, by the way?
I'm married. I don't need Snapchat.
I'm going to go ahead and tell you. Well, you're married, so that doesn't help. Snapchat is an invention that single men, I wish I'd found it much earlier in life. You all are missing out. We were born in the wrong generation. I'll go ahead and tell you that.
Yeah, is it like having a scanner back in the day?
It's like imagine when you were young and on the singles train, and imagine what women would do if they knew it would go away in 8 seconds. And then just go from there.
I think I think Karen Cypher knows what goes away in 8 seconds.
Twice.
Most underrated and overrated teams. We kind of touched on that. Asked Matt about Kevin Ware. We definitely touched on that. Which teams got hosed the most on conference realignment?
UConn. It's UConn a billion times over. It's UConn.
That's a, yeah. That's a really good call, UConn. I'll tell you who else got hosed, the Big 12 as a conference, because they decided to take West Virginia and TCU when they could have had, say, Louisville and, well, I don't know who another better one would have been.
They could have had Louisville and Cincinnati or Louisville BYU, either one.
Louisville and BYU. I think if you asked them to do it again, Louisville BYU would be infinitely better than TCU West Virginia. That was a poor decision on their part.
I think if you knew they were only going to stop at 10 and not go back to 12, Louisville makes way more sense than West Virginia. I think everybody underestimated how much of like a weird kind of outlier West Virginia would be way over there. And I want long term, they're going to have to do something.
I'm going to go with every school that aligned themselves with Brad Stevens University, and he's no longer there. That's going to be my answer.
You're talking about the new Big East isn't bad, though, right? It's a basketball-only conference with schools that didn't have any other choice. That's why UConn's the big loser, because they can't even get in that.
Right, right.
Right.
No, I'm not going to argue against UConn. I'm just saying Butler was a gem, and now they're done. They're forever irrelevant now that Brad Stevens is gone, in my opinion.
Can you guys name the teams in the new Big East?
No.
I can't either.
That's a good
question. I know the old Big East teams that moved because they were the ones
I don't know if I agree with you on that, Ben, about Butler. I mean, Butler is not going to be what it was with Brad Stevens. I certainly agree with that. But I don't know. I mean, I think the conference makes the program in some ways there. And all right, so here's the new conference. Providence, St. John's, Seton Hall, Villanova, Georgetown, Xavier, Butler, DePaul, Marquette, and Creighton.
Well, they got DePaul, so we can start there.
But that's not a horrible conference.
It's not.
You have two top 25 programs in Georgetown and Marquette. Villanova just below that.
Xavier
and Creighton just – I mean, that's not a terrible conference.
No, that's not a bad league at all. How about this long term, just a hypothetical here? We should just stick to basketball, but if Chris Peterson ever leaves Boise, the Mountain West is fucked too, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, but
I'll put it this way. Matt, do you know who I look forward to reading write about the new Big East? Shane.
Matt?
There's
Shane. There you go. I thought you were going to say Matt Norlander. No. It will certainly be the intellectuals conference. Like, yes. Going to new Big East games will be like you go to a coffee shop, you get a latte, you put on your Gooster music, and then go and sit and watch Creighton play,
That is going to be very, very weird when those tools are in Madison Square Garden, and it's like, what, Syracuse isn't here? Like, that is just going to be so bizarre.
They're not going to have that tournament in Madison Square Garden with them, are they?
Yeah, they've got it.
Nobody will go to that. That'll be terrible.
Yeah, they need to play outside.
It's gonna be on Fox Sports, too, which no one will watch either.
That is kind of amazing. But that's better than the conference that Connecticut's in now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I don't even know what
that is. Basketball at SMU and Tulane, you don't want to do that?
Yeah. Connecticut eventually will find its way to another conference, don't you think? Or are they just out?
I think they're screwed.
Yeah, I think they're out.
There's no other moves to make, and they're not going to the Big 12. So, I mean, there's nothing else to do, right?
But there is one more move, which is still, I think, there's the outside possibility that one day the SEC takes two more, and then the ACC grabs them.
Well, Matt, if they were going to add two more, who would you want?
Who would I want? I would want Duke and Carolina. They won't get them. So what I think is the most likely scenario is they'd take NC State and Virginia Tech.
Well, they're not getting anybody from the ACC, though, with a grant of rights.
Is that right? That doesn't kick in, though, for a couple years, right?
No, it's in there.
Right away.
Yep.
Okay. Well, then if they're not getting anybody from the ACC, then there's really nobody worth
it. The ACC is being guarded by Emile Jefferson with assault rifles.
But remember, but remember this. All such agreements are subject to something else. And I know that's what it says, but that can always change. But in a perfect world, you'd take Virginia Tech and NC State, probably.
Or right. I tell you what, if you just wait a couple years for the Big 12s to kind of get towards the end, you could take Oklahoma and Texas.
Oklahoma would be one they would like. I mean, Texas. Now, I think with Texas A&M, they don't necessarily need Texas.
That's true.
All right, one more, and we'll stick with two main guys here. So the question is, who would you cast as the main characters if a movie was ever written about the 92 Duke-Kentucky game? So we're going to go with we'll go with Leitner, and we'll go with Richie Farmer. Who would play those two guys?
Oh, shit. Tom Selleck would play Richie Farmer, right? Just for the mustache, right?
I would go Danny McBride for Richie Farmer.
I really like that. Leitner would have to be one of those twins from the Facebook movie.
If you can make him taller.
Guy. It's the same guy, but yeah.
If you can make him taller, wouldn't Luke Perry be a good Christian Leitner?
Yeah, well, like, you guys are picking people that are 50 years old. Leitner is a college student. I think you got to pick somebody young. Who's the young Richie Farmer? That's a very good question. Do you just like get a country music singer and teach him how to act?
Who has a mustache? I can't even think of people that have a mustache now. Who has a mustache, man?
You know, I don't know. I have to I do like my one of the guys from the Facebook movie is Leitner. I think that's gold.
Who has kind of that hair that Leitner had in the 90s? Or who has a mom and a neck brace?
Yeah, who would play the mom in the neck brace? That's a great question.
Would you agree? I mean, the 92 Duke-Kentucky game will be a movie one day, right?
It should be. It should be a 30 for 30. It should be a 30 for 30, if nothing else.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know why that hasn't been made yet.
I mean, it has to be a movie because it's like a perfect movie story. The big team wins, but then the losers are still a good plucky. I mean, it's, you know, Patino said it best after the game. The right team won for history. And I think that's probably right. It's going to be a movie. I just hope in it somehow Adolph Rupp is not portrayed as a racist.
I tell you what, if just for perspective, I grew up in Florida where nobody likes anybody in college basketball. And that's still, to me, the best game I've ever watched. I think
it's the best game. I mean, it's the best
seventh grade. I think I was in seventh grade. I know allegiance to either. And it's just it's the best game I've ever seen.
It's the best game in college basketball history. The only one that comes close is the NC State, is it NC State Maryland game, Ben, at the ACC tournament, triple overtime or whatever?
Yeah, it was before I was born, so that's what I'm told, is it was the greatest game ever. But
how about this? Let's a little easier. Who would play the coaches? Because I think Kevin Spacey would play Coach K, right?
Ooh, good call. Right? I like that a lot. Kevin Spacey. Now for Patino, what would you say? Like Affleck?
It's got to be somebody like more kind of pronounced Italian.
How about Imperioli, the guy?
Ooh, I like that. Chris Christopher from Sopranos.
Yeah.
That's good. Yeah. I like that. Imperioli and Spacey. Now, I don't know if you get that movie made with those two guys. You may need a bigger box office star. But
so we have to have Justin Timberlake is going to play Christian Leitner then? Is that how we're going to get this movie made?
I'm already liking this. In fact, I'd be interested. Who do they get for Jamel Martinez? That's another one that we want. Who's going to cry? It's Thomas Hill.
That's Drake.
Well, on that note, guys, a lot of fun. We're going to try to get these going every week. Certainly we will once the season starts, but I'm ready for Midnight Madness. Are you all attending any? I am. Are you?
I shan't.
Yeah, I'm going to hop over to Duke.
Well, good. Well, folks, it was fun, and we'll talk to you later.
See you guys.